Well, I want to begin by saying that thank you, those of you who came out in this snow that we have. I was commenting to people in the back, if I'm right about the weather, what little I watched of it, but this started about 6 a.m., and so the plows are, I think, not getting out just yet, so our church today is about half full, not half empty, half full. And all we have here today are the crazy people. Okay. No, thank you so much for doing that. But I do, and this is live streamed and recorded. So those who did choose to stay home and play it safe, I know somebody people were commenting that there were cars in the ditches and that. So it is treacherous, and so you have a dispensation, okay? And so watch this mass. I was thinking about announcing that I'm going to go deliver communion to all the homes who couldn't be here today, but I'm not going to do that, okay? But then I got to go and be in a ditch. Anyway, and then also too, I'm overjoyed for many reasons, but one of them, and this small reason, is I'm going to start my monkation right after Mass today. So that's what I call my vacations, because what I do is I just make my schedule, my calendar, white space for the week, and it gives me time to just stop. And generally what I do is a lot of praying and a lot of reading and a lot of writing during that time, and those are all my favorite things to do. And so that's what I'll be doing. But I want to let you know too that I'll be there in the rectory this week, so let's keep the confessions going. That's no big deal for me. It's not considered, you know, filling up the white space on my calendar at all for me to just stop and get someone in the state of grace. So just don't feel like that's off limits this week. All right. So I want to try to make this short this morning because I'm hoping that I don't have any notes in front of me. I'm hoping that the Lord inspires me this morning to say what I've been thinking about since Friday night of what I want to talk about today. Now, I say Friday night, and I think most of you here know what I'm talking about. We decided to get together with our bishop, the men from around the diocese and beyond, but mainly from the four corners of the diocese. Men were invited here to be inspired by Bishop Hying as we prepare 9 days from now to start a 33-day preparation for consecration to St. Joseph. I've never done this before. I'm doing this with everybody, and we're doing this with people from around the nation. You can't find the book. I'm out of books, okay? Everybody, the last two books I had, a couple of guys came up to me with puppy eyes and go, yeah, I didn't get a book. I'm like, okay, here, you know? And so now I don't have a book. I think if push comes to shove, you can use Kindle. I ordered four more. So I'm going to try to make this short. You know, I first want to say this, is that, first of all, I'm so very grateful for everybody that made this an amazing night, all the people behind the scenes. And I discerned this morning, too, that I wouldn't name names. First, because if you start naming names, then you leave out names. But mostly because I know the heart of these people, and I know that they want to do this behind the scenes. And that really goes to the theme of my homily today, too. Because 300 men gathered together here. The place was just jammed. You know, the beefy bodies in here with our bishop. It's just awesome. I'm saying this is one of the, I count this as one of the top, in the top five things I've done as a priest in 32 years of priesthood. It's just that amazing. But I was praying and discerning what was the most amazing thing, or what was really amazing about it. It was because of this. I can say this with confidence. 300 men gathered here today, and not a prideful bone in their body. Okay? These are guys that came from four corners of the diocese, left their comforts, okay, or left whatever they're caught in their worldly things, and decided, I need to do this. You know, I think of all those classic scenes when a world war breaks out, and men especially, you know, stream toward the recruitment centers, okay? Well, what about this part of your life, and what about that part of your life? My country needs me. We've got to protect our country. I think a lot of people right now are understanding that we are under attack, and now I'm talking about a spiritual warfare. The evil is rising at an alarming rate all around us. So what? So we got to go to the recruitment stations, okay? And we got to put on our armor, and we got to pick up our spiritual weapons, and we got to get in the fight. And I think to frame this here and now is God-sent, that it's about being that strong Saint Joseph, okay? My brothers, you have been given the authority over your homes. You are to provide. You are to protect, okay? But you are also called to join forces with all the others who see this battle that is waging before us. And we need to become powerful. St. Paul, when he writes his letter to the Corinthians, he's writing to Corinth because he's getting beat up. He's getting brutalized. They're going full on Saul Alinsky on him, okay? They're trying to diminish his character, his reputation, and everything. So what does he do? He writes this letter and he's pleading his cause. What does he do? Does he get up there and go, you know, I was a military leader, you know, and I'm pretty prolific in my speech, and you know, you ought to listen to me because of this. No, he doesn't. Here's what he does. Refresh your memory. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words of wisdom. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom. He was not a motivational speaker. He didn't claim to be one. But with a demonstration, and here it is, with the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, on getting your next fix from a motivational speaker, but on the power of God. If we miss this, we miss everything. And that's what this collection of men were this past Friday night. These were humble men admitting their weakness and saying, take me. You know, you see this pride get into everything. You know, one of the things I claim is, one of the things I know that if pride gets into Father Rick Heilman, grace is gone, and I'm done. I'm not effective any longer. And so I'm trying really hard. But you know what? I am. I'm just a lineman from Dorset Drive over by St. Mary Gray Parish. But I believe in the power of God. And this is one of the big reasons I believe in the power of God. In the 90s, I got really involved in the charismatic movement. These people believe. I'm thinking about getting something back going here in the parish. But one of the reasons I distanced myself from the charismatic movement was this. All of a sudden, these people were popping up that were doing what? Well, the Holy Spirit told me, and you should obey what I'm saying now because the Holy Spirit told me. Right? You know, they're claiming to be the new prophet sent from God. And if you don't do what the Holy Spirit told me, then you have the devil in you. I could not run away fast enough from that, which is a shame, because they were so small a number, but they were the most aggressive and the most obnoxious, but also they were the most vicious. I'll disparage your name and say that you're from Satan if you don't agree with what I'm telling you the Holy Spirit is. You see what I'm saying? So it's a shame that I decided, because of this small, prideful, aggressive, vicious group, And this is how Satan works. Okay, he uses the weak among us to get that pride in, okay, to poison the well. All right. That's why I believe in the supernatural power of God. That's why I believe in miracles, because I do believe that that movement was and is important in our church today. Why? Because we went through a period of time where it seemed the religious leaders, the bishops, the cardinals, were embarrassed that we believe in miracles. So we needed this to come back into our church. Now what's going on now? A beautiful movement to recover the rich treasury of our Catholic faith. To say that I love my Catholic faith, the devotions, Mary, the sacramentals, the sacraments. And so I need to offer the Mass in the most reverent way possible. What an amazing movement. You know, a lot of this is coming too from what we call the John Paul II priests, the younger priests. But, and I always qualify this, that's a generation that comes from the 90s, not the 80s. You see, he was made Pope in 1978. I was ordained in 88. So I was formed for the first 10 years of his pontificate. Why am I not a John Paul II priest? Because we were not in that place that got behind Pope John Paul II yet. And I firmly believe that if she isn't the reason, she's one of the most important reasons, and I believe historians will back this up. Mother Angelica said, "No more to you bishops and cardinals who are embarrassed about miracles, who are embarrassed about Mary, who want to turn this beautiful Mass into some, I don't know what, but not anything that pulls us toward the power of God. The power of God. What do people of beautiful and devout faith, those 300 men on Friday night, have? They go, "Listen, I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. I don't have anything except a desire to want that power." Versus the prideful that say, "Well, you know, I've arrived, and you know, I'm so important, and look at my degrees, and look at my prestige, and so on and so forth." You know, the gospel has Jesus calling us the light of the world. I had a conversation with a friend since Friday night, and I said, "Dude, you know, I know you were busy on Friday night, but I just want to use this as an occasion. You have to get around strong people. Fire united together on a lampstand burning bright. You know what that does? That draws people toward it. I can't tell you how much I disagree with the idea that if we weaken our faith enough, it won't be too scary and so people will come. How many times does that have to be disproven? Instead, this is what's been proven. People are looking for strength. People are looking for power. That's what St. Paul, he wrote more words in the Bible than any other person. And he says, it's not about me being a motivational speaker. It's about me believing and wanting and desiring and then bringing forth the power of God. Yes, to supernatural miracles. Yes, to prayers answered. Yes, to God active in our lives. And the first reading brings it out too. The first reading says, listen, share your bread with the hungry, the oppressed, the homeless, the naked. Then your light will break forth. What is he saying here? He's saying, don't think you're so important that you're rising above all the needs that you see every day of your life. And they're all around us. I keep telling, people are going through stuff. You know what helps them? Smile. Say some nice stuff. Do that. But I know, again, that the 300 men and this half-filled church today, I know your heart. I know that when you see need, you go, of course I got to take care of that. And I just want to be around you all the time. But you see, so do other people who have been walking in darkness, in the darkness of their own self-centered existence. And they're seeing these people. Are you crazy? You're just completely self-forgetting. Is that the secret to joy and meaning in life? Of course it is. And your lives and a lampstand is telling that. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? We're getting ready to do a movement in our diocese. We're getting ready to do evangelization. But I am going to pound a drum that we can't do that under our own power. If we're even going to talk about evangelization, we have to talk about submitting ourselves to God's power and let that power work through us so that we could be a real and authentic light of Christ to the world. And so, yes, we need to talk about frequent confession. You got to detox all the impurities out so that the light can come in and be even more brilliant in your life. You got to love the Eucharist. So yes, spend some extra time, even if it's a few minutes before or after Mass, adoring our Lord and believing this is God. That kind of light inspires other people. 30% are the only ones, the remnant left of baptized Catholics that believe this is God anymore. Why? Because our light has been under a bushel basket. And it gets me to my last point I want to make. The traditions, the devotions, and I call it strong Catholic identity. Again, leaders who for decades were embarrassed that we were Catholic and everything about that, okay? That happened. All right, but what's happening now? A beautiful traditional movement. People that love their Catholic faith, everything about it, Mary, the devotions, the sacraments. But what is spoiling it? There's a movement of prideful people. And I love this movement so much that I have to watch the level of my anger toward these people, because they get in and count themselves among the traditional people. And then they go, like the charismatic movement, they go, look at me. And you darn Novus Ordo people. You don't know as we know. You're not as special. You're not as devout as we are. Bugnini, Novus Ordites. Do you see what I'm saying? Who wants to be around those people? Nobody. They're spoiling the movement. I was driven out of the Charis movement for that level of pride. I'm not going to let myself do it with the traditional movement. And as I'm looking out at my peeps right now, I'm counting none of you in what I'm talking about. Because it's a very small group of people, but they're the loudest, they're the most aggressive, and they're the most vicious. When I even bring this topic up on social media, I get exalted. I mean, they're worse. I'm not going to compare them to someone because I'm on videotape. But they're vicious. And you don't understand that we've been persecuted for all these years. Okay, what are you saying then? I deserve to be a pompous jerk because I was persecuted. Is that what you're telling me? My brothers and sisters, we got to let our light shine. But we don't do it by looking down our nose. We do it by lifting people up. It's just our eagerness to want to help. And our eagerness to want to draw people into this. You know, we're trying hard here, and we were led by Bishop Morlino and Cardinal Burke and Father Z, and we're trying our best here to do the... And you know what they call our parish, this mass? A unicorn mass. It's the last thing I want. I'm trying to say, we need this. Let's get this mainstreamed. But you know what didn't help is that there was a small, and I don't think they're here anymore, there was a small group who was viciously prideful. And people were like, yikes. I don't want to be around that. It's repulsive. Isaiah, Paul, our Lord Jesus Christ, is calling us to let go of ourselves. Get into those recruitment centers like those 300 men did this Friday night. And say, I'm weak. I don't have the power. I'm nothing. Use me. Use me. Then this light joined together will be like a powerful beam that more and more people will see is the light they need to be in. I think about you. I think about Friday night. And I have to hold back tears. You're amazing. But don't let that get to you prideful, okay? You're amazing. But let's be that light of love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.